Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. As we continue on with our series we started last week on God's Got a Plan. Now, as I read through this portion of scripture of Joshua, chapter 1, I want you to be thinking about how God is declaring to Joshua that he has a plan for the children of Israel and how he will not fail them and he will not leave them to their own. Listen to what it says, starting here with verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Yes, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west, which is the Mediterranean. Verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I've got a plan for you, and I've got a plan for these Israelites. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I want you to notice that. God's got a plan. And the plan is he's going to safely bring them into the promised land. And if they will obey his word, he's going to cause them to be prosperous and successful. And in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now look at verse 8 one more time. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Otherwise, do not allow it to be simply words. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And the Bible says the next word is then. If you do these things, then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, friends, I believe it is clear from the weight of Scripture that God intends for his children to be successful in this journey of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus was simply saying, I've come that you might have life and you might have it to the full, so that your life will be overflowing with the blessing of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that we are to be more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. That is success. But what is success? If you look at the world's definition, it may be described as power, someone that's got great power, someone that has great prestige, the notice of others. Or maybe they would say that being prosperous means a big house, an expensive car, a bank account that has seven figures. You know, most Americans live by these hedonistic definitions of success. And yet, sadly, they live lives that are miserable, and so many living lives that are unfulfilled. Bob Harrington, the former chaplain of Bourbon Street, he describes America this way in three different phrases. Number one, it is houses without homes. He said, we have a nation that has the finest houses, but in few of the houses will you find a home. Secondly, he said, it is speed without direction. We're hustling, we're bustling, we're running from here to there, and yet it is without godly direction. Houses without homes, speed without direction. And he summarized it up with number three by saying, love without commitment. We talk about love, we have songs about love, but seldom do we have commitment to that which is called love. Now in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 26, Jesus asked a very probing question. Here it is in verse 26 of Matthew 16. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, he's successful, he's prosperous, yet he forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For what will he sell out, in other words? What is the equal value to one soul? One businessman said of his life, he said, I was climbing the ladder of success, only to find my ladder was leaning against the wrong building. Another said it this way, I do not fear failure. However, I do fear being successful at something that really does not count. Friends, we live in a world of frustrated people. And in this frustration, we find people of every strata, of every social, every economic, and every age group. Some time ago, a 16-year-old young girl, pretty, a whole future before her. In my conversation with her, it was one that followed immediately after while she was still hospitalized for attempting to take her life. She said, I'm a failure in life. At the age of 16, I have failed my family's expectations. I have failed myself. I have failed to succeed in life. I have failed God. And I've even failed at suicide. And with tears coursing down her cheeks, she said, I cannot do anything right. Friends, I believe God's got a better life for us. And this morning, I want to share with you some biblical principles of how you can be a success and how you can be prosperous in life. Now, first of all, if you want to be a success in life, you want to be prosperous in life, you need to live in relationship with your Heavenly Father. I believe that is the number one key to success in life, and that is living in proper relationship with God. Now, here's why. You see, God is the one that created you, and He alone knows the highest purpose for your life. And God has a plan. He has a design for every single life. There's not one of you in this room today, and there's not one that's going to watch on television or online that God does not know, and God has a plan for your life. Dr. Richard Dobbins speaks of four different windows of self-realization. Let's look at them real quick, like, because I think they're insightful. They give us a little picture of our life and how we see ourselves and how we project ourselves to others. First of all, he talks about the window of public self. The public self window is the window we allow everyone to peek in and see who we are. This morning, when we got up and got ready to come to the house of the Lord today, we all put on our public face. We have a certain persona that we are projecting to others. This is how we want to be known. This is how we want to be seen. This is how we want to be perceived as someone of a particular, you know, style and orb of life. And so it's the public self. And then he said, there's the window of other self. This is the window whereby we let others that are very close to us, our family members, our mates, our children, and we allow certain friends and people to peek into the window of our life and see the other self. Not just what we project publicly, but what we are and who we see ourselves to be individually. And then he said, there's a third window, and the third window pane is that of the secret self. And we allow no one to sneak in and peek into that window. That is who we are when we're all alone. That is the struggles we have in our individual lives. That is the thing that is going on the interior that we allow no one into. So we've got our public persona, we've got our other self, we let a few friends and family members and close associates to see who we are, but then we have that secret self. And he said there's a fourth window, and the fourth window is a window of divine potential. And this window of divine potential, he declares, is known only to God. And God reveals it to us. And as life goes on, we begin to see how God created us, how God shaped us, how God formed us. We see the gifts, we see the skill sets, we see all that God has invested in us, but it's very slow, and it is God revealing it. It's our divine potential. I think of Jeremiah. The Lord said to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, before you were ever born, I knew you. And I created you to be a spokesman for Israel." And so you find in the scriptures, you'll find these inclinations of how God and God alone knows the picture of our lives and why he made us and what his plans are for us. And so we have the public self, the other self, the secret self, and the divine potential. Now, friends, it's only through Jesus Christ then that we can reach our highest potential, for he alone is the one that knows the plans he has for us. Now, this makes perfect sense if you pause and think about it for just a moment. Who would argue that Bill Gates can get more out of his software than we could ever get out of his software? You know, we buy software packages, and most software packages have areas in it that are embedded that are far beyond our ability to understand or to comprehend. And so they're there and they're just kind of dormant. We never use them or never use them to the full potential. Whereas the maker, the originator, Bill Gates in this case, and his team, it is no question that he can get more out of his software than we ever could. God created you. God has programmed your life. And the Bible says that all the days of our life, from beginning to end, are all recorded in his book. And God has a plan for your life. And this plan is one that he reveals as we walk with him. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Listen what it says. It says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men." That is the public side. That is how the public saw them. They saw them as unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished and took note. These men had been with whom? Jesus, that's right. And they understood that as these men were spending time with Jesus, Jesus was literally unfolding their lives and giving to them an ability to influence their community, to be a success and be prosperous in the mind and the heart of God, only as he revealed it. He said they're unlettered men in the original language, which simply means these men did not have high education. Now, friends, as important as education is, and I declare to you this morning, education absolutely is important. However, education is not going to be the most important ingredient to your success. Your relationship with God is going to trump it all. As you walk with God, the one that created you, just as Bill Gates with his software, as you walk with the one that created you, programmed you, skill sets, abilities, all that God has invested in your life, as you walk with him, he is going to cause you to be successful and to prosper in life. Your relationship with God trumps all. In Psalm 111 and verse 10, it says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Good sense is shown by everyone who follows God's guiding principles." Now, that's very insightful. It says, good sense is shown by everyone who follows God's guiding principles. You will be known at your job, in your vocation, and even far beyond where you work. You will be known by individuals in the corporate world and in your realm of influence. You will become known as someone that has good sense because you walk with God. God is the source. God is the one that's guiding you. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. There's a world that is filled with knowledge, but no wisdom. And God gives you wisdom so you know how to categorize and how to put into action the knowledge you've been given, and so God causes you to shine forth. And the Bible says, good sense is shown by everyone who follows God's guiding principles. Look at Psalm 112 and verses 1 through 3. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. Now that's you, and that's your offspring. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright, those who live right, upright, will be blessed. And listen what it says next year in verse 3. It says, wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Notice here, the things the world is grasping for, God says, I want to give you. But you can only receive them as you walk in relationship with your Creator. You see, a vibrant relationship with your Creator is the most important factor to your success in life. So God has a plan for your life, and He wants you to prosper, and He wants you to be a success. But it all starts by walking in relationship with Him. Now, secondly, I want you to notice something else. To be a success in life, you need to put God first in all things. You know, for those of you that are single here this morning and you're in the dating time of life, I want you to remember that next to your relationship with God, your choice of a mate for life will be the second most impacting decision you will ever make in your lifetime. And I would encourage you, ask God to guide you in your choice of a mate. Someone that loves God more than they will love you. Because if they love God more than they love you, you can be assured they will always love you because they love God first and foremost. Amen? The Bible also says in this whole business of finding a mate, not to be unequally yoked. Find someone that loves God. Find someone that you can walk a lifetime with. The Bible says, how could two walk together unless they be agreed? And so the Bible is giving us some insights. You see, marriage is for keeps. It is not a game of trial and error. It's not the best 3 out of 5. It is... Come on, church, say amen to that one. And I believe as parents and as grandparents, friends, it's never too early to start praying for the mate that's going to show up and become one with your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson. Amen. Start praying today if you haven't already started. So as you're praying, God will send the clinkers somewhere else, all right? He wants you to have the best of the best. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be a success, and He wants you to walk in life with the right person. So put God first. But then put God first in your vocation, your work life as well. You see, the best years and the best hours of your life are going to be spent laboring at your job. Now, many of you in this room this morning, you're in that category whereby you will not even be able to retire until age 70. Now, that's a long time of life, and that is a long time of working. Sadly, polls tell us that 7 out of 10 persons, they absolutely hate their job. You will find them tomorrow morning. When you begin to walk about and you begin to talk about what the weekend has been like and what is upcoming, and you will discover rather quickly that there are those that have no love at all for their job. They just put in their time, and they cannot wait until they can punch out. It's Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and they're already talking about the weekend. They can't wait for it to come. And it's as though they're pressing through life, just making do, not enjoying any bit of it. God, I believe, does not want you spending 70 years of your life hating every single day. And I believe that He's got a plan for your life so that you can prosper and you can be a success at the thing that God has called you to do and called you to be. Now let me encourage you then. God wants you to enjoy your vocation of life. Find something that you sense God leading you towards, and then do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord every day. Then put God first in your time. You know, start your day out with Him. If you'll start your day out with God, I promise you, your day will go better. You know, there are times, you know, this is confession moment, and I realize I'm all alone in this. But I've started out, I've had somewhere to be early in the morning, it's still dark outside, and I'm driving through the city, and it takes me, you know, just to get from Oak Creek up to Good Hope Road, to the park and ride up there, which I catch a ride with others as we make our way to our office in Waupaca, Wisconsin. And as we're making that morning drive, you know, and it's just everybody's out there trying to get to their job, and it's kind of a miserable thing as you're out there on the roads, and it's snowy, it's rainy, whatever the weather may be. In that moment, I just want you to know God wants to speak to you. And your day is going to go so much better. You know, I've started out on those kind of days at times, not spending time with God before I left. And the whole day, you know, has gone, well, what should we say? It's gone to pot, all right? I don't know what that pot is, but whatever it is, that's where it went, okay? And you just, you were always behind. You're always trying to catch up for the day. And frustrations were at high level because the grace of the Spirit was not upon your life. Friends, I'm just here to tell you from personal experience, if you want a good day, start it out with God. Amen? And walk with God all throughout the day. Let me also encourage you, keep the Lord's Day. If you want to be a success and if you want to be prosperous in life, keep the Lord's Day. Keep the Lord's Day sacred and holy. And if you will do that, it will keep you from wearing out body, soul, and spirit. You see, this world will wear you ragged if you allow it to. And God wants to give you the special grace that you're going to need every day. And so as we pause like we're doing on a Sunday, and pausing in the house of the Lord and worshiping with others of like precious faith, not only will the day go better, your week is going to go better. You're going to hear the voice of God more clearly. God is going to whisper into your heart this morning something you're going to need so that you can make it through this week successfully and with prospering. Remember to put God first in your finances as well. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, listen what it says. And again, I want you to see how God is declaring, I've got a plan for you. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring prosperity. Now that's interesting. God says, if you want to live a long, happy life, it starts right here by remembering the teachings of the Lord. Love, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and what? And man. So notice here, he's saying, if you want to be noticed in the workaday world, you want to have corporations, you want men and women that want to court you for the God-given skill set. You want to be noticed. He said, here's where it happens. You'll win favor then and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Before you make your step, pause and find out what has God got in store, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That is simply saying, don't try to do this thing alone. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Friends, the first 10% of every dollar earned, it all belongs to God. And if you'll bring it to God, God has a wonderful way of taking the 90% that's left and cause it to go further than it would ever go without His blessing. Remember, life is spiritual, and God has a plan for every part of life. He has a plan for your vocation. He's got a plan for your marriage. He's got a plan for your children. He's got a plan for your finances. He's got a plan for your time. God's got a plan. And that's what this message series is all about. Finding God's plan and how to live God's plan so we can be the things we want to be, prosperous and successful. Not necessarily in the eyes of the world, but we want to be successful in the eyes of the one that created us. Because one day we want to hear those words, right on, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy salvation. Now listen, if every accolade in this world comes to you, but you don't hear that one, that's a bad day. And regardless if anyone else acknowledges you or your life in this world or places you in red lights, blue lights, whatever light there is out there, let me tell you, if you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy salvation, that is more than all this world combined could ever offer. So let me encourage you, God's got a plan for your finances. I see so many that are frustrated in this category. And I hear people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Friend, you can't afford not to tithe. Hello. No patty cakes for the Lord, all right? I mean, we give him everything we got. Amen?
Amen?
We belong to him. Therefore, everything that has come to us. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world. Now, I was privileged to be in the delivery room with all three of my children. Guess what? Nothing came with them. And my wife is mighty glad they didn't, all right? High chair, you know. Thank God delivery is just the baby. Amen? Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? That's one of the great questions of Scripture. It's a probing question to me. Will a man rob God? And there's a whole series of categories of how we can rob God. We rob God of our time, of his day, you know, of all these things. But he is speaking specifically here now. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And God responds in tithe and in offerings. He says, as a result of that, rather than the blessing that I want to give you and the success I want to give to you and the prosperity, he says, rather than receiving that, you're under a curse. This whole nation of you, because you are what? Say it. Robbing who? Me, God. That's right. Therefore, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, and I'll pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Friends, let me just encourage you. Learn how to be generous in every realm of life. There is so little dollar difference between being generous and being stingy. I went over to Barbier's in South Milwaukee. It's a restaurant that for 42 years, first it was over on Blue Mound Road, and they also have one now over in South Milwaukee. Wonderful Italian restaurant. And as I went in on Friday night, my wife and I, and as we went in, sat down, and the young waitress came over, and she said, I was just told to take good care of you, because you're her pastor. And the first thing I thought of is cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. But there's so little difference, honestly. You know, if you were to have a room with children in it, like we have over in our nursery this morning, or you have at your home when you have friends over, or maybe you've got that many children, and so It's just really fun to watch kids. If there's three toys and two kids, you got to fight. If you've got, five toys and three kids, you got to fight. If you have two kids and one toy, you got to fight. You see, from little on, we don't have to have lessons in our nursery ministries here at the church, teaching them how to be selfish. Have you ever thought about that? We don't have to teach that. You don't have to teach a lot of things that we disapprove of individually in our lives. We just say, you don't hit, you don't scratch, you don't steal, these are learned things because of our fallen nature. And because we have this inherited fallen nature, there's something about us that just, it's always, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Learn to be generous. I'll tell you, it's the greatest joy in the world to be generous and to give and watch what God begins to do. He said, if you'll do this, he said, the thing you want in your life, you want to be prosperous and you want to be successful. You want success in your calling of life, your business of life. You want to be recognized. I want to give you wisdom so that you stand above the crowd. And I want to bless you so that you can continue to be a blessing to others. There's the old saying, you cannot outgive God. And that's absolutely true. You know why? Because when you give to God, God opens up the windows of heaven and he pours out. And the Bible says he pours out blessings so great that we're unable to contain it all. And so God wants you to step into that realm. And for some of you, I pain for you. I hear your cry every week. It's been a tough week. It's been a hard week, And man, I'm working two jobs and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'll never forget a man that came up to me a number of years ago and he said, Pastor, he said, you won't see me for about 5 years. And I said, 5 years? Are you moving away or what's going on? He said, no, I'm going to go be a success. I said, you're going to be a success and you're not going to be in the house of God? Are you moving away? No, we're not moving away. I'm just not going to have time to be in the house of God. I'll see you in about 5 years. Well, sure enough, he did not show up for about 5 years. And so one day I'm out at the State Fair Park during State Fair, the huge crowds that are out there, and I bump into him. And so I asked him, I said, well, how's it going? I said, you told me you'd be about 5 years, and I think it's already been about seven, and I still haven't seen you. I said, how are things going on your desire to be a success and be prosperous? And he was talking about Cadillacs, he was talking about homes and, all this kind of stuff, and that was his definition of success. I said, well, how's it going? And he began to tear up. He said, I gave everything to try to get ahead. And I came home one day and my wife was gone. She had taken the kids. He said, quite frankly, I've lost everything. The duplex we're living in has been taken from us. Everything we've got is gone. Trying to do this thing called life was never meant to be done on an independent basis from God. God created you. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And God wants to help you. And he wants you to become successful. And he wants you to be prosperous. And he wants to flow through you. Someone has always said this is true. They said, God will always give more through you than to you. And if you want to be a conduit, just begin to practice in simple little ways. So you want to give? That's just simple, okay? And this has nothing to do with giving to God at that point. I'm just simply saying, you want to start living the life that makes a difference, and you want to be a success, and you want to be prosperous in life. Just start out even being generous. If you're going to give a $2 tip, give a $3. If you're going to give $5, try giving $7. Practice, because it breaks something on the inside. Mine. When you go to Disney, they've got the Living Seas, and outside the Living Seas, they've got these seagulls that are out there. I may know what I'm talking about, these seagulls. Yeah, I see hands going up all over the place. And it sounds just like they're saying, mine, 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 mine. Next one, mine, 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 mine. You're not careful, you'll sound just like the seagull. You know what seagulls do everywhere? All right, okay, that's not in the notes. All right. Thirdly, don't quit when you fail. You know, when a rough day comes along and you feel like giving up and you've messed up, don't quit. Let me tell you the story of one man that did not quit. I'm sure you'll pick up on who it is. Lost his job in 1832. Defeated for the legislature in 1832 as well. Failed in business in 1833. Elected to the legislature in 1834. His sweetheart, Anne, died in 1835. Had a nervous breakdown in 1836. Defeated for speaker in 1838. Defeated for the nomination for Congress in 1843. Elected to Congress in 1846. Lost renomination in 1848. Rejected for land officer in 1849. Defeated for the Senate in 1854. Defeated for the nomination of vice president in 1856. Again defeated for Senate in 1858. Elected president in 1860. Tell me who it is. Abraham Lincoln, that's right. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up, church. As you read through the Bible, you'll find that there are those that failed. Samson would be one. David, King David, would be another. What about Peter in the New Testament? But each one of these, when they failed, rather than throwing in the towel and giving up, they got back up, got back into the race, and with God's help was restored, and God allowed them the second chance to make a difference. Friends, don't give up, don't give in, because God has a plan for your life. Amen? Amen? Whereas you read about King Saul in the Old Testament, he gave up, he gave in, he quit. So did Judas in the New Testament. Remember, when things are tough, when you've taken a beating, and you're wondering how will you'll ever be restored, remember, God's got a plan. Remember what he said to Joshua. Joshua, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I count on that, don't you? Count on the good word of God. And then do everything for God's glory. Friends, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In Corinthians, it tells us, whether you eat or drink, and in everything you do, do all for the glory of God. If you will begin to live for God's glory rather than your glory, you watch how God begins to lift you up. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to be, the Bible says, the head and not the tail. He wants you to be on top and not somewhere buried on the bottom. God has a plan for your life. And many times the reason why we spend all of our time on the bottom and feeling like we're the back end, the tail, the only reason it's happening is because we're always pushing God out and putting ourselves in. Friends, if you'll live for God's glory, and if you'll be careful to give him the glory for everything, God will give you lots of opportunities where you can pass on the glory. But if you absorb it for yourself, other than getting a big head out of it, you're not going to get much out of it. Amen? God's got a plan for your life. And last of all, let me encourage you, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Let me give you an example. And before I put it on the screen, how many here today, if I were to tell you that I'm going to start you out on your new job, I'm going to give you a salary of one penny, and then every day I'm going to take, and I will double that one penny. And Now, the first thing we start thinking of is, I'm worth more than that. And I'm not even going to bother getting out of bed for no penny. Well, let's put the chart up for a moment. And in this chart, on day one, sure enough, when it's all done, you have a penny. If you work for 10 days for me, at the end of the 10th day, you'll have $10.23. And some of you are saying, I'm not working all day for $10.23. I'm out of here. I've given you 2 weeks of my life. I am not sticking with this thing any longer. Well, let's find out what happens if they stick with it a little longer. By day 15, it's $327.69 per day. Let's jump up to day 20. Day 20, they're now receiving $10,485.77 per day. How many now want to stick with the job? You didn't want the penny, but now you want the big bucks, right? Here's what happens. Listen what takes place. If you stick with it then all the way down to day 31, you're going to walk home that day with $21,474,836.49. Now how many want the job? Everyone wants a job. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, the Bible says. God's got a plan for your life. And if you'll be willing to humble yourself and say, God, I believe that I'm in your hands. You're the one that gave me this skill set. You're the one that gifted me. And I'm going to use my gifts and my skill set not only provide for my family, but to be a blessing to the kingdom. And not only be a blessing to the kingdom, to those that are around me. I want to share. I want to bless others. You see, friends, here's what's happened. If you watch the wealthiest people in the world, have you ever noticed how they give away millions and in some cases even nearly $1 billion or more? You know why? Because money means nothing. It has no intrinsic value to it until it is invested or given away. And at the moment that you give it, it becomes wealth. Money becomes wealth when it begins to do something for someone else. I would love for you to be an individual whereby you start being amazed at what God allows you to invest and to give to others. God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to have a mate that loves you and loves God and that you can walk together in unity. He wants your children to rise up one day and say, Mom and Dad, I bless you in the name of the Lord for the way you've raised me. Thank you for the things you not only taught me, but thank you for the things you showed me by your lifestyle. Want to be a success in life? Oh, you do. Down in, deep inside of all of our hearts, and that definition of success is different, but every last person, there's no one that wants to live like that precious 16-year-old girl, beautiful, blonde, and now weeping and crying, I can't do anything right. I can't even kill myself. I failed my family, I failed myself, I failed God. I failed. God's got a plan for your life. Let me tell you, if you could see, but remember, it's that window. Remember the four windows? There's the public self. That's who we see as we look around the room right now. The private self is the one that we tell one another. I have a friend that pastored for about the same number of years as I've been here in San Diego. Richard Dresselhaus. Richard Dresselhaus told me, he said, I'm just getting ready for retirement. He said, I know Pastor Dresselhaus. I've worked for 40 years on his persona. I know what he says. I know what he does. I know what he thinks. I know all about Pastor Dresselhaus. He said, but now, getting ready to retire, I'm not sure that I know, speaking of himself, I'm not sure that I know Dick Dresselhaus. When he said that, out of deep honesty, speaking to a huge crowd, I thought to myself, you know, it gets so easy to get caught up in our persona. All of you have a persona. I have one. God knows the real deal. God wants us to be the same on the outside as we are on the inside. And He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper your life. And He wants to give you a little peek through that window of divine potential. God created you. And He wants to shape your life. He wants to use your life.